Hello and welcome to Searching for Service, brought to you by Rotary District 5950. I'm your host, Kelly Kirk.
I'm Joe Kirk.
Before we dive into who our guest is for this episode, Joe's going to remind us of our show's purpose.
Yeah, we at Searching for Service, we're committed to uniting servants through stories of service. And how we do that is have amazing guests on that tell great stories and opportunities that are out there to serve. And hopefully it inspires you to, you know, become more involved in service, whether that's through Rotary or other organizations.
But let's be honest, the best vehicle is Rotary.
Well, I mean, I hope that through, if you're a fan of our show, that you've listened to how many things that we touch and how many things that mm-hmm. we do. And it just does seem like kind of the no-brainer, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a good connection with who we're interviewing, our purpose.
Yes. And so speaking of an incredible servant of service, we had Rebecca Rothney on. Well, you will have Rebecca Rothney on, as she is the founder and chairperson of PEC for Purpose. A lot that we unpacked.
We unpacked. You stole my line. I'm like, yeah, we unpacked a lot. And
you're going to want to hear about our cookies.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
But it's a cool organization that really, as we've learned a lot over the years, or over the 2 years, listened, found a need, mm-hmm. and made it simple.
Yep.
Really made it simple.
Yeah. And I think that personally, my kind of key takeaway from this was how it truly came from one of her like initial passions of travel.
Yep. Yeah.
And having this aha moment. That was kind of a cool little tie-in that she shared with us.
Yep. And it goes right back to the mission of the show is, you know, she was passionate about a certain avenue and then she got propelled into service and found other people that were passionate about that as well.
Mm-hmm. And impacts a lot of different places. That was not just one area. Like a lot of the police people we've had on are very specific to one place. And mm-hmm. she kind of showed you can do this wherever you travel to.
Yeah. And you'll find out exactly if you're traveling how you can do it. So I think we should get right into the interview. What do you think?
That sounds good. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Searching for Service.
All right.
Up your game and show off your Rotary Club spirit. Did you know there's a one-stop shop for all things Rotary apparel? Russell Hampton Company is the world's largest provider of licensed Rotary branded merchandise. From apparel like hats, jackets, and shirts to banners, tents, and awards, they have it all. And most things are customizable. And they can handle orders of all sizes. Russell Hampton Company also has deep connections to Rotary. In 1920, the company founder was part of Rotary Club No. 1 in downtown Chicago. Russell Hampton Company models their business on the Rotary four-way test and gives back 10% of all purchases to Rotary, supporting its global work. So the next time you and your club are out on a service project, arrive with the right swag from Russell Hampton Company to promote your club and Rotary. Even non-Rotarians will want some of your cool hats, shirts, and jackets. Learn more at bestclubsupplies.com. That's bestclubsupplies.com.
Rotary is a place for all community-minded people who want to serve their areas with the support of an international organization. Join Rotary to find service. Join Rotary to find inclusion. Join Rotary to find leadership. Join Rotary to find fun. Join Rotary to find friendship. Join Rotary to find a better version of the world. Find a Rotary Club near you at Rotary.org and click on Club Finder. There is a club out there for everyone. Find your fit with Rotary. Rotary.org.
Of the things we think, say, or do.
Is it the truth? Is it fair to all concerned?
Join Rotary to serve your community and the world with honesty, fairness, and goodwill. Our four-way test guides our actions every day. Is it the truth? Is it fair to all concerned? Will it build goodwill and better friendships? Will it be beneficial to all concerned? These values underpin our commitment to making a positive impact on the world. Learn more about your local Rotary Club and stop searching and start serving. And the song you're hearing now was performed by Rotary Club of Dar es Salaam, Oyster Bay.
Hello and welcome back to Searching for Service, brought to you by Rotary District 5950. I'm Kelly Kirk.
I'm Joe Kirk.
And I'm Chad Larson.
Before we dive into who our guest is today, Chad is going to remind us of who our sponsor is.
We want to thank Russell Hampton Company for sponsoring the show. They are the number one rotary printer in the country. You can check out, if you're watching, some of the swag they sent us. They got a cutting board and Stanley style mug, and they can really print anything for you, for your Rotary Club or for your business. So thank you, Russell Hampton.
Thank you, Russell. We appreciate you. We have a very special guest on today, and her name is Rebecca Rothney. She is the founder and chairperson of Pack for Purpose. Welcome, Rebecca. We're happy to have you.
Thank you. I'm delighted and honored to be here.
Well, we're going to take just a few minutes here and have our listeners have an opportunity to get to know you. So I'm going to ask the first question. I'll have the honor of doing that. Where are you hailing from?
I am hailing from Raleigh, North Carolina.
Raleigh.
I am a Southern woman. I was born in Georgia, grew up in Florida. My mother thinks a virus infected her womb when she was pregnant, and that's why her children are born sounding like Yankees. But we are Southerners, and I can just talk like that all day long if I need to, but it kind of gives you the diabetic coma, so
now,
I don't.
Now, do you do the, God bless your heart?
Well, bless your soul.
Bless your soul. I love it.
How long have you been in Raleigh?
I've been in Raleigh more than half my life, so I'll be 75 this year, and I moved to Raleigh in 1974.
Wow. Good run.
Yeah. I don't want to say anything positive about Raleigh because we don't want any more people coming here. But it's a fabulous place to live. You're sure. 2.5 hours from the beach, 3 hours from the mountains. We have an international airport, a huge international community here, because of all the universities. So lots of Rotary clubs doing their wonderful work, and lots of arts and nature spaces. It's my husband and I plan to die here in about 25 more years.
I love it.
Nice work. Get to the century mark and punch that ticket out of here.
Yeah. Well, we all have an expiration date, so I understand. I can't find mine. I've looked everywhere for it, but I just don't see it.
It's about the dash in between. It's all good.
We'll dive into the Pack for Purpose, your organization here, but obviously you like to travel, I assume. So, you know, have you always traveled? Tell us a little bit more about your background and your travels.
The first time we traveled, I grew up in Sarasota, Florida, and my father loved to snorkel. So we would go to the Bahamas, which would actually take a DC-3 a bazillion years ago, because it was an easy flight, and we snorkeled and all of that. And then our first trip abroad happened because my grandparents, unfortunately for them, got sick. But that meant they couldn't babysit us when my parents went to Mexico. So we got to go along with them. And that was at the age of 14. And I never looked back. I saved up $500 babysitting at 40 cents an hour so I could travel.
Wow.
I had to undercut the older kids who were charging 50 cents an hour, you know, be a little entrepreneurial.
I would love for it to still be 40 cents an hour.
Absolutely. No, I think I was raised in a home that made differences seem like opportunities, not threats. And that's really seminal, I think, to being open to the world. So my parents were like, well, if you go new places, you can see how other people do things. You might mm-hmm. like it, you might not, but at least you can then make an informed choice. So yeah, I had travel posters all over my room in high school.
That's very cool. What did you do before you started Pack for Purpose?
Well, I had several careers. I taught school And then I started at 40 when I decided I wanted to eat lunch with adults and go to the bathroom whenever I needed to. And that was never going to happen in a North Carolina school. I started a business where I made cufflinks out of postage stamps, which we sold to Nordstrom for 23 years because I loved the history. I was a history teacher and stamps have the whole history of the world. And we actually used real stamps and then we put a label on the box saying the date of issue of the stamp, what country it was from, and some interesting fact. So when you got a compliment, which everyone always did, you could say something erudite and then change the subject to the weather if you didn't know anything else.
That's really neat.
And then after that, and also when I started that business, it allowed me to become a docent at the art museum, in which you had to go to class an hour and a half a week. I'm still doing that after 33 years. So it gave me more opportunities. So I guess I went from school mom to entrepreneur to founder of a global nonprofit.
Here we are.
That's a good transition, that's for sure. Yeah. We'll dive into Pack for Purpose. So you tell us just a little bit about it before we dive in, and then we want to kind of hear about how you decided to start it and found it.
What about Pack for Purpose itself? It's an informational website that I think of as a giant Lego. If you're a traveler and you go to our website, you can search for a destination and you're going to find all of our participants at that destination who already support community projects. Our job is to create a list sent to us by that accommodation or tour company of the community project they're supporting and the needs of that community project. And then we put those on the website. If they can be bought locally, we put that on the website. As much information as possible so that you can go to our website and say, oh, I'm going to Curacao and I happen to be staying at one of the places in the on the island. And I would love to support this project because Packing for a Purpose is always about choosing. Just like you choose to become a Rotarian, you're inspired by what they do. And then you put any of the supplies on the needs list, nothing that is not on the needs list. These are sentient adults. They know what they need better than you think you know what they need. You put them in your suitcase. You drop it off at the front desk, if you will, when you get there, and they will deliver them to the project for you. You may not get to visit the school or the animal clinic. It depends on the weather, what's going on. That's always a local decision. But we're happy to introduce you to our contact. And if they would love to have a guest speaker at the school that day, well, that's wonderful. So what we do is allow travelers to make whatever trip they're going on more impactful and more meaningful.
There's got to be a story behind this.
Well, of course there's
got to be a story behind this. Do share.
Well, I believe that gratitude is universal. I truly do. How you express it may differ from culture to culture. Like, and I think this is all over the U.S., but certainly in the South, one would never show up to somebody's house if you'd been invited for lunch or dinner or a weekend without a gift, even if that person was way richer than you, because it has nothing to do. It's about gratitude. You're expressing your gratitude for the hospitality you're being shown. So I was brought up with that. And the first time we went to Africa, this was many, many years ago, 2000, I think, we were flying in 6-seater Cessnas once we landed, and they literally weighed you and the 22 pounds of luggage you were allowed to take. And this was before there was anything but film for your camera. So we were like, whoa, 22 pounds for 3 weeks. So we packed up everything. We had an amazing time. My husband was like, how many more frequent flyer miles before we can come back again? And the next time we were able to go back, we went with an incredible company, Wilderness Safaris, and they mentioned you could visit a school. Well, having been a school teacher in North Carolina and having to beg for school supplies here, I thought, well, what must it be like there? We have 140 pounds of free shipping for our suitcases, which we can't use once we land. Maybe I could fill that up with school supplies and then they could be delivered to the school. So I got in touch with Wilderness, asked them to send me a list of what the school needed. Then I told all my friends, just give up one coffee purchased outside. Here's a list of what we need and give me the supplies. And along with what Scott and I purchased, we will take them there. Wilderness was wonderful. We landed in Johannesburg. They took the supplies from us. because there's no 140 pounds once you land on the continent. The next flight is much less luggage allowance. And we got there. So we took our trip, which was amazing. At the last stop, we were only 20 minutes from the school. So Wilderness had the supplies waiting. We went to the school. Outside the school, there were a few kids playing with, it was a ball of rags, which was the only soccer ball they had. We went into the school, we met with the principal, we gave her the supplies. She almost really burst into tears when she saw the rulers. There wasn't a ruler in the school. And this was a very nice school building. Botswana is a very well-off country, but they just didn't have rulers. So we inflated the soccer balls we brought. The principal let the children outside to play a game of soccer. And I told my husband when we left, we are doing this from now on, whenever we travel. So we did it. And then when we were going to Kenya, we were staying at a place called Lewa Rhino Conservancy, and they had a clinic and a school. And in Kenya, we were gonna have our own driver guide. So he would drive us in a vehicle from place to place. Even if we flew part of a route, he would meet us. I thought, well, we can take all 200 pounds of luggage fundamentally in the vehicle because we don't have to worry about flying with it. So we asked the clinic, what would you like if you could have whatever you wanted? And their answer was a stethoscope and a blood pressure cuff. Wow. And I thought, is that a joke? How can you have a clinic and not have a stethoscope? So I called my friend, Jan Karn, who was like the godmother of Fact for a Purpose. She was an RN at Duke. And I said, Jan, I need a stethoscope and a blood pressure cuff. Hmm. 3 days later, we had 2 stethoscopes, 4 blood pressure cuffs. And then I went to my own doctor with a list of other things that they needed, and we took them. And I decided this is so simple. Everyone would do it if we made it easy for them to do it. So my husband started laughing hysterically. Well, he never gets hysterical, but laughing heartily. And he said, Rebecca, you make me type your emails. How are you going to create a nonprofit on the internet? And I was like, well, all my friends love my homemade chocolate mint chip cookies, and they have those skills. I bet they'll do it for me. And they did. Wow. So, I used to say when I started this, I believe text belonged in a book, blackberries belonged in a cobbler, and I only spread sheets on a bed. I've gotten better because our volunteer webmaster made me, but I realized if you make things simple and easy for people, but the outcome is impactful, they're happy to do it. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I set about with Pact for a Purpose. Anybody can be gracious. Everybody can be generous to the ability or the level which works for you. Mm-hmm. One tube of antibiotic cream, 30 kids don't get an infection who are playing outside in a field. One stethoscope can touch 10,000 hearts. So it's not always about huge masses of things, but anything. And who doesn't understand gratitude? I don't think there's a place on the planet where gratitude isn't understood and appreciated. But I'm blabbering, perhaps.
No,
this you're
is,
not.
No, you've got a captive audience. Is all.
That makes it worse.
it's funny though. Like I'm trying to like piece together the thought process and kind of the process of as you're traveling and thinking through this, and like some of those obstacles are real though. You know, some of the carrying products across international borders, and like, you know, there has to have been some form of hurdle in all of that stuff. I mean, luckily, I mean, it sounded like it was just really, really simple stuff. Mm-hmm. Like it's not like you're taking an X-ray machine or something like that.
There was a learning curve. I mean, the first time we packed for a purpose with 2 other sets of friends, we were going back to Africa before there was any name or formal anything. We made a huge mistake and put the supplies in boxes. We thought, well, we're not going to take all this back. We'll just put them in big boxes. And they got to Namibia, and boxes say charge duty on me. Whereas things in your suitcase don't necessarily do that. So that was lesson number one. Keep it in your luggage. We also decided if you ask people for just a little, and 5 pounds is just a little, or 2.27 kilos, they often do a lot. If you ask them for a lot, people feel like they can't do anything because they feel overwhelmed. Some people take all their checked luggage in supplies. Some people take 5 pounds, but whatever you choose to do, as long as it's from the needs list, it will be impactful. We make it clear on our website, we do not control customs in 60 countries. We can absolutely not give you any advice, although we don't let any, no one's asking for anything that would be illegal or inappropriate. And we have very clear packing instructions on our website on the how to pack page. But once I remember we came into Kenya and we're like, oh, great, everything's here, everything arrived. And then before we could leave, there was another X-ray machine. I was like, So all the luggage went through and someone pulled us over and they said, what are all these school supplies for? So I whipped out the project page from our website and they, well, these are for the children of Kenya. These are for the school, da, 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 da. But it took me 20 minutes to convince the customs official that we were not going to resell them. And they finally let us go. So you could run into a problem. We can't promise you, unfortunately, that you won't.
Darn,
but usually
customs.
It's just taking a small amount and it's inside your luggage. It seems to work pretty well.
Do you remember the good old days when there was a red button and a green, or a red light and a green light when you'd go through customs, like to have your bag checked? Like you just literally push like a game show, like buzzer, and it would either be green or red.
You still have that.
You still have that. Okay.
You push the green one, and they decide they want to. Now they have all these duplicate X-ray machines coming and going. So it can be a challenge. And if something like we found out someone was taking 3 previously used computers to Peru, I believe, and they found out when they got there that customs only allow you to bring in 1. Well, the people did allow them to take it that time, but as soon as we found out that was a regulation, we posted it on the website.
Sure.
So if we get information from travelers, then we put it up on the country page so people can be aware of it. You can't take plastic bags in most countries, which is a good thing. So we clearly put that on the website as well. You know, pack it in cloth, pack it in paper, because otherwise you might not be able to get those items in the country. And if it can be bought locally, that takes care of every issue. So if places tell us, yes, these items are available locally, then we put that on the page and then people can make a decision on how they, what they want to do. It's not our, we're out of that loop because it's a business decision and a traveler's decision.
Can you talk a little bit about what kind of your large scale goal is for the organization? Cause you know, it's, you know, people are bringing 5 pounds at a time and you know, this small, but many, mentality, and how do you continue to communicate like that vision of something like a greater impact when it's all of these small steps that are contributing to it?
Thank you. That's an excellent question. Currently, all our participants have to report back to us 3 times a year on the weight of the supplies they receive. Everyone's got a high season, a low season, and sometimes, God forbid, there are earthquakes or political issues which affect how many travelers are going to a place. Mm-hmm. And if they don't report back to us, they're gone. My husband tells me I'm an accountability freak. Maybe it's because I had a lawyer for a father. But if you tell me you're going to do something, you better do it. Because if I tell you I'm going to do something and I don't, I'm in a coma, I'm dead, or I have been abducted by space aliens. I don't make promises I'm not going to keep. So we get that data, and we keep track of it all on spreadsheets. And so currently, I'm going to up it a little because we just got in some more information. People have taken over 456,000 pounds of supplies
Holy, incredible.
The last 14 years. Some people take a lot. They can, so that's great. But any gift of an item that was requested is a wonderful thing to do. There's no too little ever. As long as it's on that needs list.
Does I think there's some genius in that, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, anybody can grab a couple rulers and throw it in their bag.
Yeah.
And as long as they know where to hand it off to and, you know, it, like you said, keep make the process really simple. But, yeah, I mean, that's just really fascinating. It's a reverse of what we hear a lot. We hear a lot on this show is, you know, we're trying to do these projects of scale, millions and millions and millions of dollars and solve the water problem for an entire community when, you know, repeatedly doing this small act over and over again has the same impact.
And we hope this will just be the first thing you do if you can do more. We had, there were 110 insurance agents from Australia going to South Africa. And each of them took a 10-pound backpack full of school supplies for the school in Stellenbosch, supported by the Spear Hotel. So that was over 1,000 pounds. They got there, they went to the school, and then they found out the school had almost no sports equipment. So one of the insurance owners of the insurance company set up a trust for the school, gave them money so they could always have sports equipment. So packing for a purpose doesn't have to be the only thing you do if you're incredibly wealthy and you decide, well, I'm going to build a school here because you've seen the community, you trust what's going to happen there. Great. I wanted to call it, in one version, the website that would make your mama proud, because I think all our parents teach us to be generous and to be kind. And if there's anything lacking in the world, there's, in my opinion, an enormous lack of gratitude. People,
you're not
the
wrong.
Kindest, the smallest words can make someone feel so much better, and they're in turn going to treat somebody else so much better.
Yeah.
I mean, I sound kind of hokey, but I probably am that Rebecca of Sunnybrook Farm. I don't know. I just believe it's simple to be kind, but it has to be easy. You could have been working for years to have this fabulous trip, and you don't have 500 hours to arrange something. So you can go on and off our website in less than 5 minutes and find out exactly what you need to do and make it happen. It's a great thing for brides and grooms. We've had several brides and grooms pack for a purpose. Instead of a big honking $2 bow from the dollar store, how could it be $2 from the dollar store? I don't know, but it is.
you crack me up.
two rulers. Yeah. And on the package.
Yeah.
And the maid of honor could collect all those school supplies, put them in a duffel bag, hand them to the bride and groom. Nobody would have to spend any extra money, and they could spread the love where they're going to have their honeymoon or their destination wedding to that community by taking impactful and meaningful supplies. We've had several service organizations pack for a purpose. Boy Scouts, 3 different Eagle Scouts pack for a purpose for their Eagle badge. And Girl Scouts and sororities have all packed for a purpose, because all it takes is ability to read a little, pay attention, and to have a kind heart. That's really simple.
That's really cool.
I came up with it. It's simple.
So, 2 pieces of commentary on that. One, we as a family, we share gratitude around the table, and it is really funny how that muscle atrophies very quickly when you don't exercise it. And then when we have people over and we do it, and
they
they're
participate
like
participate in the exercise
what? And so I love that idea of this small act of working out that muscle. And then the second piece to that is I love the fact that you understand that this small act leads to larger acts.
Mm-hmm.
Like, can you share some of the larger impacts, like downstream, that happened? Because you briefly shared about the insurance folks, but is there something that you're very proud of that happened because somebody, you know, participated in your project?
Got
and
inspired.
Then, yeah.
I'm thinking, I mean, the insurance one was a huge one. And I mean, it's a terrible problem to have that there's so many stories after 14 years that it might be difficult to locate one. I mean, it was really, if you go to our website and look under stories, you'll see stories from communities, which are from the communities themselves and how things have been a benefit to them. And then you'll see stories from travelers. And we even broke it down further to honeymooners, you know, families, because what a great way to teach your children generosity.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Because the sooner you learn it, then the more it becomes a habit for you. But they're doing it in a way that's fun. I mean, getting to go to the store and shop for the supplies or something for your children.
Yeah.
So I can't offhand, I apologize, think for something more amazing than the insurance agent.
That's okay.
Sure
you did provide the story.
That's so wrong of me. There was something that was mind blowing that was started by two young boys again. From Australia. I don't know what's up with me. These two young boys were going to Africa with their parents, and they were going on a Bushways. It's a company. It's Safari. They have several different camps. And they saw the Pack for a Purpose logo on the Bushways website and clicked through. So they decided to get all their fellow classmates to bring supplies. They took the supplies there, and Bushways was very grateful, and they had this marvelous experience. So when they went back to Australia, the father owned some kind of a business that involved metal and canvas. I don't know exactly what it was. But what they did, those two little boys raised enough money to send back a shipping container.
Wow.
Full of supplies. They got medical supplies. There's a nonprofit in Australia called MedEarth. So they contacted MedEarth to get medical supplies, beds and wheelchairs and this and that. And MedEarth was so inspired, they sent another container of supplies for a clinic in Zambia. Then they collected a bunch of shoes. And then a big issue in a lot of places in Africa, especially places that rely on cattle, are lions eating their cattle. So they build these bomas, which are using thorn trees and things like that to kind of protect the cattle at night, a corral, if you will. But he constructed, using recycled materials from metal and canvas, portable canvas bomas. So these could be put in the ground, the canvas, the metal, surround the cattle, and then when the cattle were moved, the boma could go with them. So he constructed five of those and sent them back. And they all got there, which was incredible too. So that may be the most, if you Google Cody and Owen on the website, you can see their story. And that was two little boys who just moved. And of course, they had the enormous support of their parents and the community. So that, I don't know how I could have forgotten that. that was really a mind-blowing event. So those are things I'm thrilled with. I mean, generosity is not some idea I came up with. It's been around for a long time. And people, I guess my greatest quality is persistence. Mm-hmm. And my incredible homemade chocolate mint chip cookies, which people will do.
I'll send you my address.
For. Yeah.
No. You have to eat them hot out of the oven. Because Deal. If you eat them hot out of the oven, I will own a piece of your soul. So you'll do anything I ask. If you eat them at room temperature, you're kind of inclined to do what I ask you to do. This isn't the same. I don't ship.
Bless
them.
Your heart. Yeah. It's really fun to hear how like your organization seems to be a catalyst for so much more. Mm-hmm. Like it's like this. What's the stuff before you put in a fire? It's like the paper.
Kindling. That's yeah. We don't want to say tinder. It has a whole different meaning.
It probably comes with persistence, but how do you find all the, in every different place, do you take the lead on finding the organizations?
That's a very
or do people
good
bring
question.
Them to you?
Very good question. So originally, and I had, this organization has succeeded through volunteers. Nobody gets paid here. Except they get paid with my cookies, which truly are amazing. In the last several years, we started actually paying interns, college interns. We have a great resource of lots of universities in the Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill area. So we've had great interns, and they're so smart and so clever, way more clever than I am. They came up with Instagram. I never even heard of it. How embarrassing is that? So they made great headroads. But okay, I lost the thread. Bring me back the thread of the question.
How do you find an organization?
Oh, right. So they would scour the internet for places that said green or this, that, and the other. We would look at people who'd won awards, big awards for what they were doing in the medical field, this, that, and the other. And we would cold call them an invitation. But after a while, when we gained more of a reputation ourselves, people would look on a competitor's website and go, Pack for a Purpose, what's that? Then they would check it out and go, well, we're supporting a project. We need to get on there. And then we've had amazing editorial. We've been in Oprah magazine here and in South Africa. So a woman going to Guatemala saw the article in Oprah magazine, ripped it out. The place is no longer on our website because it's been purchased by another company and they chose not to do it anymore. And she said, well, I know this place has a school. So she went to Earth Lodge. She showed them the article and said, you need to be doing this. Mm-hmm. So they signed up. So I think word of mouth, and now we haven't had to look for for people at all anymore. They pretty much come to us. We've tried to make it really easy and effective for accommodations and tour companies to do everything they need to do right on the website, because time is money for a business. Mm-hmm. And this organization has managed somehow to exist on cookies, but we need a new kind of dough now, you know, the kind you find in banks.
Look
but
at that.
These other businesses can't survive without money. So we want to make it as the least amount of time possible for them to do what they need to do and become participants.
Maybe when we have the Rotary International Conference here in 29, we can make sure everybody that comes to Minneapolis does this. And is there an go. Organization? Is there, are there
and
any
then you
like
can
needs
come
around?
Visit and then we can have your cookies.
Oh,
yes, yeah, I would think that. Absolutely.
Yes, I was trying to solve that just for the cookies.
Yet is my favorite three-letter word, because that means there's hope and there's possibilities. Mm-hmm. But any, and Rotarians, and I mean, if you have a project in some country and that needs supplies, local Rotarians might be able to hook up an accommodation to support that project. Mm-hmm. That hotel or tour company would get on our website and carry in project, as it were. We just needed to hold somebody accountable for the weight of the supplies. So sure. That's why we don't use NGOs directly. Some NGOs might not even have a computer, you know, some of the local projects. But we figured, well, accommodations and tour companies, they have computers. And if they're accountable to us, then that's a way to track everything. So we have some accountability.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, we can't fly everywhere and assure you that not a single supply, I don't even want to say it, doesn't get to where we're supposed to. Our wonderful accommodation tour companies actually take pictures. So when the supplies are delivered to the school clinic or to the medical or to the community garden. So our participants are really quite wonderful themselves. And that's how we've kind of kept track of things and keep growing. So we just added a new place in Belize the other day. I'm very excited. And some people leave, you know, the pandemic. Some people just went out of business. They were mm-hmm. too small to survive. But if you're on our website, we believe you can absolutely trust that the supplies you take there will be delivered to the appropriate project on your behalf.
Maybe talk a little bit about that. How did COVID impact your organization? I mean, nobody's traveling, so.
It impacted, of course, the whole world. The greatest impact were all the lives that were lost.
Yeah.
And tourist dollars make up a huge part of a lot of countries' economy. Mm-hmm. So that also had a devastating effect. We keep spreadsheets. I still try not to do them, but at least I don't faint when I look at one. So we keep spreadsheets about our contacts and everything. And some people, there was no contact information anymore. Some countries, Mexico managed to stay open a lot during COVID, some of the Caribbean islands. So they even got supplies then, which was stunning. I think people felt even more compelled if they were lucky enough or felt comfortable enough traveling during COVID to take supplies where they went. But I think it will be a long, long time before travel and people have a full recovery from COVID, but we're getting there. And that's a good thing.
I know people can, you have the tips on the website, but what are some of the tips that you share and that people find as they go through trying to do this?
Well, how to deflate a soccer ball. You'd be surprised how many pieces of underwear and socks you could put in the cavity of a deflated soccer ball. Wow. So you don't want to be traveling with air. It weighs something. And how to pack things appropriately. There's a lot of overpackaging in this country. I don't know about others. It's insane. And a lot of places you're going to don't have recycling. So by you doing the recycling here and taking things, you eliminate that issue altogether. If it has a point on it already, you probably need to leave it in its original packaging. But if it's an unsharpened pencil, no problem. You can take a bunch of those and put them in a paper bag or pencil bags that you can buy at the dollar a quarter store and put those with pencils and pencil sharpeners and things like that. So we try to give tips. We do. We give tips on the most efficient ways to pack, how to layer things. If you are taking over-the-counter medicines because they've been requested, making sure you have the labeling and everything correct. We try to make it as efficient for space and weight as possible for everybody going, because the easier it is, the more likely you are to do it.
Right.
I like easy and simple. I'm a big advocate of that. Maybe because I'm lazy. I don't know.
At least you can admit it. I love that.
I mean, if I can have the same impact doing something simply and easily or with a lot of effort and the impact's the same, I'm always going to choose simple and easy. All I care about is the outcome. In most of the things you do in life, many are very complicated. And I know Rotarians probably take on some huge projects, which require enormous resources. But so many other things are simple. And even if you're not going on a Rotarian trip, just taking your family somewhere, mm-hmm. you can pack for a purpose, because at the heart of the Rotarian mission is service.
Yeah.
We'll have to definitely get the Global Travelers connected.
Spoken to them.
Yeah. Are you aware of the Global Travelers?
It's a club within Rotary.
Is it out of Minneapolis?
Yep.
Yes, I did a presentation for them.
Wonderful. That makes total sense. Like, wonderful. All these people are traveling all over.
That seemed like a Rotarian
at conference I went to. She was like, oh, we need to do Rotary. So she contacted them. And it's a privilege. There's really nothing remarkable about me. Maybe that's the most important thing for everybody listening to know. If you just follow through with an idea, surround yourself by people who are all smarter than you are, but like your baking, and you can accomplish a lot. I'm not going to cure cancer. I'm not going to come up with a polio vaccine, but even with my lack of computer skills, we've managed to create and see a global nonprofit come to fruition because of commitment. Mm. And everybody has those skills. They really, really do. I've just had the privilege to have all this help and assistance and to be persistent myself.
Wow. It's a great, great message to wrap on.
Yeah. I think a lot of people are going to have some pretty nice and key takeaways from all that you've shared today, Rebecca. We really appreciate it.
And the website again, I'll put this in the link in the bio, but you want to share that before we go?
Channeling My Interns, www.packforapurpose.org. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and
love it.
Twitter, X, I don't know, whatever.
all the platforms.
And if you're traveling, please share your stories. They are truly inspirational, whether you send back a shipping container or you're an Eagle Scout taking supplies. Mm-hmm. Everybody can be gracious, and you've already got a heads up by being a Rotarian. You've proven you're committed to that.
Yeah.
You have a new follower.
I love
what?
It.
So do you have a new follower on Instagram?
Oh, yay! My interns do really great things with Instagram.
Yeah, you guys, following is really impressive.
Yeah. Rebecca.
Well, I honestly had never heard of it. And Andrew, one of our interns from State, said, Rebecca, we have all these pictures. Why don't we do anything with them? Mm. I was like, what? He said, Instagram. I honestly said to him, what's that, Andrew? I thought he was going to collapse. He's like, oh, I need to fix this. So
good.
We have Instagram, thanks to Andrew. And if your Rotarians have any suggestions on ways we could make the website friendlier or easier to access, please send them to me at Rebecca@packforapurpose.org. I actually read emails. Don't text me, though. Don't text.
Rebecca, your cheekiness, I appreciate a ton, and I think that the guys can agree, too.
Absolutely.
So
yeah.
Thank you so much for taking the time to come on to our show and talk about Pack for Purpose. It was truly, truly wonderful.
You're very welcome. Thank you as well. And have a great day.
You too. Thank you. As a reminder, you are listening to Searching for Service. I'm Kelly Kirk.
I'm Joe Kirk.
And I'm Chad Larson. We'll be back.
Is it the truth? Is it fair to all concerned? Will it build good? Will it better friendships? Will it be beneficial to all concerned? When we pay it forward, it will be returned.
Join Rotary to serve your community and the world with honesty, fairness, and goodwill. Our four-way test guides our actions every day. Is it the truth? Is it fair to all concerned? Will it build goodwill and better friendships? Will it be beneficial to all concerned? These values underpin our commitment to making a positive impact on the world. Learn more about your local Rotary Club and stop searching and start serving. And the song you're hearing right now was performed by the Rotary Club of Saskatoon, Natuna in Canada.
When we pay it forward, it will be returned.
Show off your Rotary Club spirit with Russell Hampton Company. They're the world's largest provider of licensed Rotary items. They make everything like hats, jackets, shirts, banners, and more. Russell Hampton Company is a fourth-generation family-owned and operated business founded in 1920 by a member of the first-ever Rotary Club in Chicago, Club Number 1. When you call Russell Hampton Company, you get more than just a company, you get a fellow Rotarian-owned business who's there to help. No matter if you're ordering for your entire club or just yourself, no order is too big or too small. Not sure what your club needs? Their team members can help and customize just about anything. They live by the Rotary four-way test. They also give 10% of all purchases back to Rotary to support Rotary's global work. So remember, Russell Hampton Company is your one-stop shop for all things Rotary. Learn more at bestclubsupplies.com. That's bestclubsupplies.com. Russell Hampton Company, Rotarians serving Rotarians.
For decades, eradicating polio worldwide has been Rotary's cornerstone cause. We are incredibly close to ridding the globe of this virus, but we need everyone's help to get us to the goal. World Polio Day is October 24th. Please consider making a new donation to Polio Plus or increasing your already generous giving. Go to endpolio.org to be a part of this historical eradication of polio. You will help get vaccinations to the most remote parts of our world and help fulfill a promise we made to end polio now. Two drops and it stops. Hello and welcome back to Searching for Service, brought to you by Rotary District 5950. I'm your host, Kelly Kirk.
I'm Joe Kirk.
And I'm Chad Larson.
What a great interview, guys.
Yeah, it was awesome.
She had great energy. It was fun to have her on, and I know Joe's looking forward to the cookies.
The only thing I thought about is I'm like, this will never work for Kelly because her bag is always like 9,000 pounds and stuff to the gills.
It was kind of a standing like thought comment that was going through my head. I'm like, I don't know if I could do this. I suppose I could sacrifice.
Or you could just pay for a second bag.
I could do that.
Or three. You can bring up to three, I think, normally.
Yeah.
So we could.
Buy a cheap...
Good thing we got those Sky Miles cards.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Buy a cheap suitcase, bring it, and be all set, I think.
I think what's really cool about this organization, though, is that they've really done a good job of just making it so simple.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they highlight just what exactly needs to be true for this to be, you know, something that you could incorporate into your travels at ease as well.
Yeah, the simplicity, before we interviewed her, I was like, oh, that kind of makes sense, packed for purpose. And then, like, oh, wait, I can just bring another suitcase, bring the supplies that are needed in the area I'm going, find it on their website.
Drop it off at a location that's given to me.
And, one thing I thought was really, and we've heard this, like I said, from others, is they've listened to each area that they go to, have partners, like you said, in different areas. Mm-hmm. So they make it really customized to the needs of the place and the people that can be impacted.
Well, and I think too, where we get caught up sometimes as Rotary is we love to be the boots on the ground all the time.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, because that's kind of where, like, if you think about like your local service and stuff like that, it's a lot of boots on the ground. Whereas a lot of the work that's done globally is more in partnership with local presence so that there's sustainability and buy-in, right?
Yeah.
And you think of, you know, an organization like this, it's really listened to that and gone, how do we stack a lot of little things to make a big impact? Because, I mean, that's essentially it, right? Like, you think about the three of us and, you know, if you're just traveling to that location and we bring a dozen rulers and all of this and that. And it sounds like it has huge impact at the end, at the end, right?
It's the simplest of things, or just simple things that we here in the States take for granted, quite frankly, that, to your point, just, you know, that may cost you what, $5-$10 tops. And then, you know, that impact that it has.
The biggest globally. Expense might be your extra check bags.
Yeah.
I mean, from some of the examples she gave, obviously some of the medical equipment may be a little bit more that, but she talked about how you can get that donated from places as it's decommissioned or not being used.
Stethoscopes, right? Was a big one.
I thought it was really cool. Yeah. She talked about engaging with friends and neighbors and other people to, and she said people do buy, but there's a lot of times you just mention to friends, I'm going here, they have a need for this, and all of a sudden, you know, stuff will show up on your doorstep that's needed.
Yeah. Well, and she noted too, most, you know, most businesses or nonprofits, it takes time and effort. And it seems like, I'm sure that it didn't go without some speed bumps and hiccups, but now they're just in this really beautiful place of everything being word of mouth and traveling through the grapevine, if you will. Yeah. And so, you know, she mentioned that, you know, those partnerships just kind of keep coming, and they have organizations that are reaching out to them to get this set up so that.
Well, and it marries so well with Rotary too, right? Because we're global. We're also, like, we have the cause-based clubs, like the Global Travelers and things like that.
I thought about that one right away. I'm like,
holy smokes. Like, just, I mean, what an easy organization to support for them, because it's out doing what they already do, and it's part of their core mission of their of their club, too. Mm-hmm. But it was fabulous. Overall, I loved it.
Every time, you know, I know our club does about every other year, they go to different, for a big project, just automatically bring an extra bag.
Yeah.
Because all the big stuff that they're doing is generally there as they're partnering with the local organization. Like, how easy? Just an extra bag when you're going already on a service trip.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Exactly. Well, any other parting thoughts here, gentlemen?
You know, I don't have a ton. It was pretty fun.
I'm still waiting for my cookies.
Yeah.
Rebecca's going to listen to this and go, Rebecca, don't worry.
Rebecca, you can email me. Us, at Searching for Service.
Wait a second. She did actually send a little email with her free cookie ticket. We just have to come and visit her. So
lucky
for us, and not so lucky for our listeners.
I'll put the link to their website in the description. So if you're traveling, check them out. It seems like you can have a great impact, huge impact in a community with very little effort.
Yes. Well, thank you to all of our listeners for tuning in today to hear about Rebecca and Pack for Purpose. We will see you next time. I'm Kelly Kirk.
I'm Joe Kirk.
And I'm Chad Larson.
It's time to stop searching
and start serving.
Thanks for listening.